Blog Talk Radio.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London. Off to my left, far away in the distance, I can see just that faint, red, angry snap of anti-aircraft bursts against this steel-blue sky. About 5 minutes ago, the guns in the immediate vicinity were working. I was up here earlier this afternoon and looking out over these housetops, looking all the way to the dome of St. Paul's. I saw many flags flying from staffs. No one ordered these people to put out the flags. They simply feel like flying the Union Jack above their roofs. No one told them to do it, and no flag up there was white.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
I'm out on my own, walking the streets. Look at the things that I meet. I feel like I want to go. What do I feel? What do I know? But I still believe through the shame and through the grief, through the heartache, through the tears, through the waiting, through the years, for people like us in places like this, we need all the hope.
Good evening and welcome to the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live from booktalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. And tonight we will be discussing quite a few things, and I'm just going to read the script to tonight. I've got to thank Dave for a lot of hard work that went into tonight's show. He was having all sorts of problems last night putting it together. But anyway, here we go. English Defence League radio show on the Brexit battle line. Welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, Jeff, that's me, Spider Mitchell, and my wingman this evening is Dave Agdor Milner. Al Jan, the Tornado Rene, is on an assignment. There you go. Tonight, we will be discussing, among other things, the struggle for control of the Brexit process. all are left, force a name-only deal? Or will we get the hard Brexit we demand and which we voted for? Let it be known to all, one way or another, the people will win. Foot soldiers, angels, supporters of the cause, and global patriots, this is your year, your platform, and your voice. Please call in. No compromises, no deals, no bullshit, and no surrender ever. So there you go. And I'm going to bring my colleague and dear friend and an awesome patriot, Dave Agdell Milner. Dave, before we start, I've got to thank you. Dave worked tirelessly last night, ladies and gentlemen. We was having all sorts of issues putting a show together. Couldn't create the show. Dave managed to work around it with a lot of sweat, perspiration, and a bit of constipation. Dave, I couldn't resist it. But we're here. We are here, no matter what. But Dave, let me pass the reins to you and welcome you to the show that we was almost giving up on last night, weren't we, mate? Over to you, Dave.
Hey, Jeff. Yes, good evening to everybody in the UK and good afternoon to everybody in the United States of America. Yeah, we got quite a show tonight. I got to tell you, Jeff, we have a little bit of weather over here. It's minus 17 yeah. Celsius.
Will you keep yourself wrapped up well, Mel, you hear me?
I would say, I would say bring the breath. Well, I tried to bring the brass monkeys in last night, Jeff, but we got so much... We got so much snow that it's not, they're covered in snow now, so we can't find them.
Have you got much in Vermont? Well, you are, Dave. You got much there, mate.
I've got about half a foot, I'd say, Jeff. Just looking outside on my Facebook page, you can look there. Yeah, we got about half a foot where I am, and
I hope you've got enough food in me, old mate. Don't you going out having all that bloody ice and snow? Hope you keep warm, Dave, And of course, to everybody with these absolutely horrific conditions, driving snow, rain, or ice rain, whatever it is, Dave, that's deadly, isn't it? That's that sort of weather that you're having.
Yeah.
So to everybody that's there or listening to the show, just keep warm, guys. Don't think of wandering out and I've got to do this. No, you keep warm and keep yourself safe. I think that's a bit of good advice because I won't go out. If it's like that, Dave, I refuse to go out, mate. If I have to have bacon and beans every day, I'll have bacon and beans every day, Dave.
I don't mind a little bacon myself, so no, not at all. Well, I'm not likely to have to go out in it until later this coming week because I have to make a CYAI doctor visit. By the way, Jeff, that gives us entry into a program note. Now, guys, we're going to be talking about Brexit tonight rather extensively, and we had a great show Thursday with Jan, who brought in some great perspective and shared some great stories and whatnot. And
awesome, as usual.
What we're going to do, instead of doing the regular show on Thursday, because I'm usually trashed after an eye doctor visit, is we're going to go ahead and run an archive, an encore show of what we did last Thursday. And that will get you guys up to speed. All you have to do is listen to that one and then listen to this one, and you'll have some more perspective. Plus, Lord willing, and the crick don't rise, I will be on BZ's Berserk Bobcat Saloon on Tuesday at 11 p.m. Eastern. That's 4 a.m. in the UK. And we'll be talking about the latest in the Brexit battle at that point. So we're keeping on top of this as much as possible, guys, because it's moving really fast.
It certainly is, Dave. Some other news that I meant to mention that in Leeds yesterday, Dave, the police was overwhelmed with the response of the Brexiteers, the Yellow Jacket Brexiteers.
Nice.
Even using, you know, some really tactics that we've seen before, pepper spray, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Try to disperse mm-hmm. the people. But I think that the police was overwhelmed with how many people. Now, I don't know how many was there, but if you know that they was overwhelmed with the people that turned up, it goes to show you that they wasn't prepared for how many. And it's quite obvious that there is, you think about that, there's certainly 0.5 million of us in this country that voted for Brexit. So, you know, people are going to show up, and they're feeling unhappy with a dodgy government and a woman who you wouldn't put in charge of a pair of trousers even. Like, you know what I mean? I mean, she's hopeless. She's hopeless. And Dave, we talked about this. We didn't talk on air, but we had quiet talks mm-hmm. that it was never going to happen, that it was going to fall, and she's going to probably end up falling on her sword because she's not been able to do what she wanted to achieve. Well, we shall see.
Yeah.
We shall see. As I say, we saw the way that Cameron, because he was a Remainer, and because it didn't go his way, he had to fall and so. But she's totally different. She thinks she's above that, that she can hang about. We shall see. But because it's Monday, it's a B part of the plan, which, as we know, we all know that the A part of the plan was decimated. People, you know, the politicians voted. That was the worst defeat of a British Prime Minister in modern times.
Yep.
And we said that in a script, didn't we, last week, though? So
yeah,
we shall see what we shall see. But the country is in crisis now because of ineptness of politicians who say one thing, who believe another, and put this country and good people voted in good, you know, in good stead to you know, the politicians will work on our behalf to get us out without those bloody deals, none of that. We wanted an old Brexit. All of us who voted for that, 17.5 million of us who voted for it, voted for a hard Brexit, no deal out sort of thing. But they decided that they was going to play politics and the money game. Well, you know what? We don't need all that, do we? We should be free from that, because we're one of the best countries in the world to deal with. So we don't need Europe. They need us, Dave. That's it.
Oh,
they need us.
Yeah.
You know,
once
we've released their shackles from this Jolly Boys Club, you watch it rumble, like we said. I mean, so how many years have we been speaking about it's going to crumble as soon as we leave? They're panicking. They know what's going to happen. And, of course, they're putting the screws on May. You know, we could stick this way and you're going to go along. You're going to pass our 39 billion, whatever it is. Stuff them. Stuff their union. And we want to be free from it. And she better understand that people ain't very happy if she don't go the way what we said. And she comes out and she made I'm going to talk to the public now. You know, we're trying to have your Brexit. We're going to try to make, you know, just to make itself look bloody good. Because we know, really, really, it's just political with her. And it is with the rest of them.
People know what's in her heart.
Sits in that
people know what's in her
powerful
heart.
Position. Sorry, Dave.
I'll say this to you, Jeff. You know, perhaps the only thing that President Obama ever said that I liked or approved of was, even though he campaigned against it, he campaigned for the Ramoners.
Reason why most of us went against what he said.
Well, that was part of it, but no. Immediately upon Brexit passing, he was the first one, and the United States of America was the first country to say, "Oh yeah." You know, we are ready to trade with a non-European Britain. You know, And you know, I was a little proud of him for that.
But
I mean,
he just want to come in when you said that. Let's not forget what he said about us if we come if we have our Brexit, that we'd be in the back of the queue for deals, trade deals. That's what he said, Dave.
That was before it passed.
But as soon as got that the Brexit, that the people voted, he changed his tune. Typical Obama.
Yeah.
Statement, yeah, Dave?
Oh, certainly, yeah, certainly. You know, but like I said, it was about the only thing the guy's ever said that I have any approval of. He's a snake, just like Theresa May. And Jeff, we've got a couple of fairly big stories, but you know, the first one goes to what you were talking about earlier. This is off the Daily Mail, and it runs a video, so. You know, anybody that's in chat, if you want this, you can go to the Mail online site and get it yourself. This was this is updated today.
A bit quiet in the chat room, Dave. I don't worry too much about
it. It's all good in the hood, man. You know, we get a lot of business in archive, and I have a feeling, Jeff, that we'll get a lot more business because today's show. Concerns something extremely important that everybody is talking about. Someone told me, or someone was saying on their show yesterday that I was reviewing, they said, well, this Brexit thing is just about resolved, and I messaged them and said, not even close. This story is by Tim Sculthorpe, the deputy political editor for the Mail Online. Now, this shows you how and guys, this is getting deep up in here. Okay, it says, excuse me, guys. Okay, May prepares to unveil her Plan B for Brexit tomorrow. That's going to be Monday. Fox warns MPs that they cannot hijack Parliament to steal the results of the referendum. All right. Now, read the subheads here. Theresa May will set out Plan B for Brexit in a statement and a motion tomorrow. We'll wait and see what that is. Proposals set the stage for another major showdown in Parliament on June the 29th. Claimed today she could offer to quit. She could offer to quit in May or June in return for getting her deal. The idea is to give a new Leave-supporting PM the job of negotiating UK-EU trade. That is diabolical. Oh, actually, no, that's good. Excuse me. No, that's good. See, that just shows how confusing this is, folks. But it would end May's hopes of securing a post-Brexit legacy as prime minister. Well, she blew that to hell a long time ago. A plan from May's chief of staff, Gavin Barwell, has been discussed with ministers. Trade Secretary Liam Fox warned Remain MPs not to try and hijack Parliament. And guys, that's exactly what they're going to try and do. We'll get up into that here, you know, a little bit later, because you know, that's that there are all kinds of, there's a two-pronged attack going on there, guys. So you know, get ready for that. Theresa May is finalizing her Plan B for Brexit tonight, as her trade secretary warned Remain MPs they cannot hijack Parliament to steal the 2016 referendum result. Pardon me, guys. The Prime Minister has spoken to her cabinet by conference call as she prepares for a crucial day tomorrow when she must set out her next steps. Because her Brexit deal was crushed by 230 votes on Tuesday, Mrs. May must now table a new motion in Parliament, and MPs can attempt to rewrite the plans. That's going to be wonderful. It seems tomorrow's move by the PM will set the stage for a new showdown in the Commons on January the 29th, when MPs will vote on a series of Brexit plans. One possible that emerged today was a bilateral treaty with Ireland about keeping open the Irish border, intended to replace the backstop plan in the current divorce deal loathed by Brexiteers. Dublin has already said no. Ahead of Mrs. May's statement to MPs tomorrow, it emerged several groups of Remain rebels want to use the votes to suspend the normal rules of Parliament and, here we go guys, force through new laws to prevent a no-deal Brexit. There you are. The procedural maneuvers prompted Liam Fox to warn the rebels against any attempt to hijack the Brexit process. It was even claimed today the Prime Minister could offer to resign as soon as May, the month of May, to win over Brexiteers to her deal under ideas from her top aide, Gavin Barwell. I'm going to scroll down a bit, guys. Mrs. May has not signed up to the timetable, but amid revolt over her deal before Christmas, did accept she would quit ahead of the 2022 election. So get ready for that, guys. All right, I'm going to scroll down a bit more. Okay, Dr. Fox told the BBC's Andrew Marr, you've got a Leave population and a Remain parliament. That's about the state of it, guys. Parliament has not got the right to hijack the Brexit process because Parliament said to the people of this country, we make a contract with you. You will make the decision and we will honor it. What are now getting is some of those who always absolutely opposed the result of the referendum, trying to hijack Brexit and, in fact, steal the result from the people. That's the fact, Jack. I said that, not him. Dr. Fox added, "It can't have it back." They, meaning Parliament, said, "We cannot or will not make a decision on this. You, the British people, will make the decision." Right, I'm going to scroll down a bit more. And, you know, I know, Jeff, you agree with that. Now, let's see here. Let's make sure. Okay, yeah. The cabinet minister said the official consequences of going back on the referendum result would be astronomical, the political consequences, by the way. Dr. Fox hinted the comment could back the idea of a side deal with Ireland to resolve the backstop question that has deadlocked negotiations and is hated by Brexiteers. He told Marr he was in favor of a different mechanism to resolve the Irish border question and said he wanted to explore ways to achieve that with the Irish government and EU. Ireland has already rejected the idea, Sky News reported today. Dr. Fox admitted not all of the EU's existing trade deals would be ready for exit day. He said, excuse me, guys, he said, they're not ready and signed, but they're well in train. Actually, there are 37 agreements, only 34 of which are in operation. And if you add Australia and New Zealand and mutual recognition, you would get back to 36. All right. Now, Jeff, I'm going to stop this here. There's a lot more to this one, but let's just get your comments on this story, guys. Again, you can go to the Mail Online and find this if you want.
Well, basically, I mean, that minister speaking on behalf of May, basically is
yeah.
Right. If the Parliament decides to hijack our Brexit, then this is totally unconstitutional. It goes against our democratic rights, and it's almost caused a revolt in this country. That is how powerful this is. And this is why that politicians should always realise that it is us that put them in positions to work for us, not the other way around. And they do so, they go against the word of the people, the vote of the people, at their peril. It is at their peril. This is how gravenous this situation is. They go against us, which it seems they're trying to. They must realise how dangerous. No wonder Theresa May was ready to put troops on the streets. She understands. She should do. Because we spoke. She's already had warnings. We've told her. You do so, and this goes against the people's vote. The referendum that we had. And it was a once only in a lifetime that you could do this vote. And that was said quite blatantly. All these other people out there, all these Remainers saying, no, we want a second referendum, blah, blah. It ain't going to happen.
Right.
We will not allow it to happen. We voted, we said out, 17.5 million was the majority, and we won the Brexit. Out means out. There's no other excuses. You know, we've been shackled to this EU farcical unit for so many years. How many years? 40 years, though? 40, 50 years? Almost.
Oh, yeah, something like that. Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. And at the time, none of us knew. I mean, I've spoke to you about it, Dave. I've spoke to the listeners about it. None of us knew that the common market meant this European bullshit that we've experienced over the years, Dave. Little did we know that they were going to make decisions of the way the country's run, etc., etc., take away our fishermen's rights, etc., etc., and all that. We didn't realise at the time when Ted Heath signed that declaration, signed up on it.
Right.
We
were
signing up on
behalf
of us because we didn't know what he was bloody doing. We just thought it's common market. It helps us to our producers get through to them better and vice versa.
Oh, yeah. That's how they sold it, yeah.
And we wasn't supposed to know the indications, Dave, because that's where we are today.
No. Yeah, Jeff, and you know, I have to say, you know, this is, of course, me being a weird kid like I was in the 1970s, you know, because I was heavier into politics than most people just because I could see the implications that it had. You know, I was listening to the BBC World Service over here in the States, and when they were talking about the European Common Market, you know, at the time they called it the EC, not the EU.
That's right.
Then it seemed like a good thing. It was like, oh, okay, well, this is just going to open up trade for everybody. It'll stop a lot of confusion and things of that nature, and just make things easier for everyone altogether. They did a really great job of selling it, but at its core, what it really was a means to create a super state, and that's what it is now.
Yeah.
You know, 53
it's
million.
It's a shame that most of us that had any idea of this agreement that was signed didn't read the small writing. You know, the small writing, all these things.
Oh, small print. Yeah,
it's probably
yeah.
the most important part of the contract that we didn't read.
Sure.
It, or we did. Nothing. We just took advice of politicians that this is the right thing to do for our country. We didn't realise. We didn't realise we were selling our heritage away, because we wouldn't have allowed Teddy to get anywhere near signing anything. We didn't know. Pretty naive we was at the time. You know, we unfortunately, we lived in a time where naivety ruled the day. You know, we was quite comfortable doing our own things and and hoping our politicians was working on our behalf, etc. But now we realise all them years, those wasted years, was causing so many problems throughout our country. We didn't realise at the time when that was going through, political correctness started to take a foothold. And we are where we are now, and you know, as I say, the situation with the Yellow Jackets over in France, there is a call now that they're trying to ban all their demonstrations. They're trying to ban demonstrations. Well, that will be an open revolution. They do stopping people demonstrating the same as that. They try to stop us. This is a revolution. People peacefully protest. Okay, some of them get out of hand. We know that, David. It's quite obvious when you...
Oh, of course,
you get a group of people.
You get thousands of people doing that.
You
can have one or two,
Causing problems.
Yeah.
But if they want to take away people's rights to, you know, free to assemble and to march, a democratic thing, they tried to take that away. Macron, he better really be quick with the running boots, because people won't put up for that in France, and we've been seeing the rise of people who's had enough, you know, with all the, what they've been doing, allowing, you know, the enemy in there, on their shores to rape the women and the children, etc., same as over here. People have had enough of it, Dave. But anyway, I'm drifting away a little bit from what we was talking about, but there's some of my comments of what was said there. Yeah, they do... the Remainers think that they're going to hijack our Brexit. It's not theirs. It's nothing to do with them. It's ours. It's our Brexit. We voted for it. It's a once-in-a-lifetime vote. Never forget that. Never forget. You only do this once in your life. You must get out to vote. Make sure you vote the right way. So we did. Me and my neighbours, we all went and voted for our Brexit. Little did we know, couple years down the line, Dave, we'd be in a position where there is betrayal going on. You can smell it, can't you? You can smell the betrayal, Dave. But we will not let it stand. I mean, it's Pope's country. You know it. As I said, like what happened Saturday, thousands of people turning up in Leeds and the police overwhelmed and using pepper spray. In fact, someone came across a police hat. You know what their police hat is? Do you know who's on Facebook? Anybody knows this belongs to? It was found among the Leeds demo yesterday. And
very nice.
I laughed at that, Dave. I laughed at that.
It seemed a bit lively, Dave.
You know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it's something, Jeff, and this does come to, because we do have our other major story to do on Brexit, and we will do that in the second half of the show. You know, but this does come to the whole Brexit thing, man. You know, in a way, it is all about protesting, you know, and demonstrating against the super state, but from people who have had enough. And I think we need to be real about it. Okay, the Brexit vote in 2016 was the people's chance to say what they thought of uncontrolled migration of Mohammedans. All right? I mean, everything else operates as well. Everything else operates as well. The regulations, the movement of the money from the UK to unelected, bloated, a-holes in Brussels, all of that is definitely operative, okay? But the real deal is the real deal, honestly, is that it was about the migration. and the fact that it's been allowed to go on, and that the people are suffering, and they want an end to it. You know, that's the big deal, man. That's the big deal right there.
That is one of the main things. Not only that,
that was
it's
the main deal.
The sovereign rights of the people as well, Dave.
Exactly.
This was so
sovereignty.
Important. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, brother, sovereignty, that was the big deal, okay? you know, and that's been the 500-pound gorilla in the room. There have been a lot of people who have said, "Well, no, it's about economics and everything." And it is. It's about those things too. But it is also about, as you said, Jeff, diversity, political correctness and multiculturalism just gone out of control.
Exactly.
And trying to put a governor on that, you know, look, this was the only way, honestly, that the people of the United Kingdom had of expressing their viewpoint of this uncontrolled migration, because anything else that they did.
When we talk about Brexit, basically, your president is having the same problem over in the United States with your borders, with what he's trying to do
to
stem the flow of people, you know, just coming in over the borders, thousands upon thousands. And he's trying to stem the flow. And you've got the Democrats who wants their open borders. So that's, oh, we don't want open borders. Well, what is it that you want then? Because it seems a very open border tactics
exactly
that they're using
that
to prevent your president from having a wall, whatever you want to call it, you know, he would change the name to something else, a barrier or something. But it's common sense. It's common sense. And, you know, okay, we know there's a lot of people out there who's suffering because of the situation. But when you've got one party who's willing to compromise and the other saying, no, we're not doing it. No, we refuse. Not $1. Not $1 we give towards the wall. Well, that says it all, doesn't it? It's what you call an impasse, isn't it? So we're
in, my,
in a
my
very
opinion,
similar situation, except for the name.
Of course,
Of both the situations we find ourselves in, Dave. Very similar.
Well, yeah, the lefties. Yeah, the lefties want it all, and you know they don't want anything except what they want. Now Jeff, it's not quite the halfway point at the show, but I've got a Paul Watson audio that I want to play. It's I just uploaded it. I didn't have time to edit it, but basically it has to do with the Yellow Vest protesters. What you were talking about. And if you, this is just going to take about 7 minutes and 15 seconds. If you want
to
call back in,
give me time to make a quick cup of tea, Dave. I'm gasping.
that it does, man. That it does. So, and guys, this is relevant. So while Jeff calls back in, we'll forego the tune today and play this Paul Watson audio because it's important.
We'll play it. I won't call back in at the moment because I'm going to make, but at the same time I'm going to listen to the audio, and then when come to the near the end, then I'll call back in. Okay, just give you an heads up, Dave.
Okay, Jeff. I'll start the audio. Give it about 5 minutes. It's about 7 minutes and 15 seconds, and then call back in, and we'll be ready to rock and roll. And people, we're going to give you this Paul Watson. Audio. This is from his YouTube page. This one is what they're not telling you about the Yellow Vest protesters. Give this a listen, and please stay tuned for the second half of the English Defense League radio show, when we're going to talk more about Brexit. This all has to do with Brexit and with opposing the super state or the stupid state, whichever one you want to call it, folks. And yes, to my American brothers and sisters, as Jeff said, this is very similar. This is very important. This is something you should pay attention to. Here we go.
The French government is so terrified of the Yellow Vest movement, they're debating new laws that would criminalize all unauthorized protests, meaning you would need government permission to protest the government, otherwise known as dictatorship or martial law. Protest leaders are now being handcuffed and abducted in the night, like something out of Stasi East Germany. Yellow Vest organizer Eric Drouet was arrested and faces trial for, quote, organizing an undeclared demonstration while meeting with friends at a restaurant. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, 2011. Paris, 2019. When your city looks like a screenshot from an apocalyptic video game, every weekend, something's gone drastically wrong. On Saturday, Cannes looked more like a battlefield than a city. The Virgin Antifa rioter versus the Chad French rioter hides behind a mask, poses no real threat to authority, just breaks shit with no purpose. Sports a sexy yellow vest, caused actual change, breaks shit because he's fed up with taxes. Now, you know I don't advocate violence. And this guy claims he was angry because his wife got tear gassed. But when Christoph Dettinger, despite being targeted by the media and authorities, doxed and having his home raided, becomes an overnight icon, you know whose side the public are on. I don't want to see Paris torn up, but when Antifa attacks banks, the left cheers. When yellow vests do the same, it's a dark harbinger of a fascist takeover. But President Macron is a globalist authoritarian, and the only way authoritarians know how to react to disobedience is with violence. But the underpaid and overworked French police will eventually join their fellow countrymen, and the king will have no clothes. As Tom Luongo writes, the Yellow Vest movement is coffin nails for the EU, because it illustrates how the EU is a scam, and all of its policies were designed to do exactly what it's done: impoverish the working classes, enrich the aristocracy, and enforce it through a Byzantine bureaucracy that makes the world of Terry Gilliam's Brazil look like a Toyota factory floor. Now Yellow Vest activists are tearing down EU flags. When he was elected, Macron was hailed as the saviour of globalism. Little over a year later, and his approval rating is at 23%, while his citizens are using forklift trucks to smash into the Ministry of Finance and Economy building. Meanwhile, the establishment has set in motion a character assassination of the small but growing Yellow Vest movement in the UK. Ramona MP Anna Soubry was called... Oh my God. She was called a Nazi!
Right.
Prompting a contrived, hysterical media narrative that new laws need to be passed to prevent the abuse of politicians. Because Anna Soubry would never smear ordinary working class people as Nazis or fascists, would she?
These are fascists.
Owen Jones is the voice of the working class. These gentlemen were just the wrong kind of working class. Yeah, where was the outrage when Jacob Rees-Mogg's children were being abused by vile left-wing thugs?
Your daddy's a totally horrible person.
How about Nigel Farage's family being repeatedly attacked and abused?
So there is a real double standard here, that those of us that have taken on the establishment have to endure the abuse. Those within the establishment get a taste of it, and suddenly they want the law changed.
The left has been pulling stunts like that for years. But as soon as one establishment MP gets a bit of lip, you all freak out and wet the bed. Give me a break. A right-wing AfD politician in Germany is beaten almost to death by left-wing terrorists, and it barely makes the news. While every screaming top headline for 2 days was about someone being mean to Anna Soubry, and it was all part of a coordinated scheme to digitally assassinate one of the leaders of the UK Yellow Vest movement. Social media accounts banned, PayPal accounts deleted, doxing, journalists harassing their elderly parents, thousands of jihadists roaming our streets every day, people being stabbed to death every single day. Gotta get those dangerous 13-year-old girls off the streets, though. Then there's this bizarre footage out of Holland, which shows a woman wearing a yellow vest being dragged away from a baby stroller by police. The incident was apparently some kind of police training or social experiment, but it's disturbing nonetheless. Basically, the yellow vest is the new anonymous mask. It's a unifying emblem for anti-establishment fervor across Europe. And it seems the only thing more provocative than yellow vests is German women who wear their hair in braids.
Wir sind jetzt hier auf dem Bahnhof Chemnitz und wurden wirklich von der Polizei angehalten und ich wurde wirklich gefragt, was ich für eine politische Meinung habe, ob ich denn nicht eine rechte Meinung vertrete, weil ich Zöpfe habe.
There's also speculation raging, which is unconfirmed at this point, that governments are already conspiring with mainstream media networks to release pre-written stories if tensions escalate that will do everything possible to minimize the chance of events being seen as a European spring. We've already seen mainstream TV channels in France photoshopping and censoring anti-Macron protest signs. The Yellow Vest movement utterly terrifies the elite because it unites aspects of both the left and the right. As French philosopher Alain de Benoist points out, the Yellow Vest movement is historic because it unites people with shared grievances from both sides of the political spectrum. Let's get one thing clear. The reason the establishment hates the Yellow Vest movement is because the establishment hates the working class. The reason why left-wing mouthpieces like Owen Jones and Lovey celebrities hate the Yellow Vest movement is because they hate the working class.
The working class are not capable of making important decisions. That's why they are the working class instead of leaders and professionals.
You spent decades disingenuously pandering to the working class while feeling entitled to their vote, while offering them nothing but political and economic betrayal in return. Standards of living sunk, wage growth stagnated, fuel prices skyrocketed, and communities were destroyed thanks to your myopic insistence on importing millions of migrant wage slaves. Now the working class have finally got wise to it and withdrawn their support, prompting your thinly veiled disgust, elitism, and snobbery to be fully revealed in all its fetid repulsiveness. I don't know where the Yellow Vest movement is going, but you can bet for a fact that the establishment's response is going to become more and more brutal, proving once again that globalism can only be pursued at the expense of the freedoms, prosperity, and dignity of ordinary working class people.
Well, he sums it up, didn't he, Dave? Well done, Paul. A great job there. Quite a bit. I think he spoke volumes of the way it is. It's the hatred of the working class people, you know, against the establishment, the globalists and the elitists. And we've always said that, though. This isn't nothing new. It's always been the same. There's always been them. And there's always be us. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. It's the way that it's always been. As you say, the globalists get much richer, the elitists get much richer, and the poorer just get poorer. And no benefits, what we should, most of us should, be. I mean, you know, the pension in the UK is a lot lower than all the other European countries, though. Did you know that?
Yeah.
It goes to show you, doesn't it? But worked hard all their life and come to, you know, the pension, they get the lowest out of them all. You know, the Germans, the French.
Right.
You name European countries, and now how dismal. Pension, and because that's what it is. Unless you've made, you put things in place earlier on, estate pension. It's very hard to survive on. Most of us do, but it's difficult. We do get, do get problems, financially. I know exactly what happens, and then you put yourself in debt, and et cetera, and the wandering circle just increases and goes on. But Dave, I've got to admit, Paul Watson, he's bang on it every time, isn't he? He does see it in the same eyes as what most of us do. But thank you for that, Dave. First time I've heard that as well, so it was appreciated. I mean, I didn't hear all of it because I was in the kitchen, but I did hear most of it.
Right.
And I've got my cup of tea in between, so.
Well, that's nice, and I really hope that the sound of the little heater that's heating up my feet doesn't offend anyone, because I had turned everything off for sound quality, but Jeff, it is minus 17 Celsius outside, and the walls of this place are very thin, so I had to turn it off for a little while. You know, now, I just figured it out, by the way, Jeff. The amount of money, Jan told us about this on Thursday. The amount of money that migrants get. Okay, the amount of money migrants get, brother, is $37.50, you know, more or less, about £37.50. Okay, that's at the current exchange rate. Well, at the last exchange rate, which I looked at a couple of days ago, that's 60 American dollars a day. Now, for you guys in the States, now, you go, well, $60 a day isn't that much. They have to pay for rent and blah, blah. No, they don't. They don't have to pay for rent. They don't have to pay for medical care. You know, they don't have to pay for anything like that. Okay. They get free housing when UK veterans are left to sleep out in the cold, and UK pensioners. Indigenous yeah. people are told, well, you know, you can just, you know, go out and sleep in a sleeping bag. We don't care. You know, but for the migrants, yeah, free housing for you. And, oh, by the way, here's you know, the equivalent of $60 a day. Now, think about that, sports fans. $60 a day. Just for being migrants and voting labor, which is basically it. And don't think yeah. in the States, guys, don't think that the lefties, the Democrats, don't want to do the same thing. That's what this Mincom idea of theirs is all about. And all of this free everything that people like Ocasio-Cortez and these other nutbags are trying to push through. They're trying to do that and open up the borders at the same time. It's the same thing Corbyn wants to do, and it's going to completely and utterly wreck the economy. And the only people that will have anything at the end are going to be the very people Jeff is talking about and Paul Watson was talking about, the elites, the nose in the air, fancy pants, fat cats, and they're going to want to rule over everybody else, and what they'll rule over will be a blasted ruin. And that's it.
Yeah, they'll be the whatever happens, Dave, in the end. The so-called elitists that will—they say how the mighty fall—and you'll hear the biggest thump in the world when they collapse, and they go crying about it, because that's what happens. Because they don't know how to survive, Dave. They've not used the survival tactics like most of us have had to be. It's just something that you do. Surviving in this world. You've got to know the art of survival. They do not know the art of survival, so when it all comes crashing down around them, they won't know. They won't.
They never.
They never know. People that normally are around them will be gone. So they'll all be by themselves and not knowing a clue how to survive. And they will.
They can't. Yeah.
You know, let's be honest, they will soon fade away because. You know, they can't sustain themselves. They don't know how to go out there hunting or anything like that, which
they can't grow anything.
Anyway, it's just it's passed down from generations. Yeah. We know. I mean, when you need to eat, you need to eat off the land and you need to catch things and, you know, etc. Dave, you know how it is. The way the world works, Dave.
Well, they can't grow anything, they can't build anything, they can't make anything, and you know, all they can do is sit on their high horse and try and rule over everyone. Now, Jeff, I'm going to read this story here. This is the real meat of what this show is all about. This is the attempt, by the way, guys, to hijack this Brexit process that we read about in the last story, but this has a little bit more detail. Okay, and this here is by Joe Middleton for the Mail Online. Okay, now the headline on this one, I'm going to read this here, is revealed the secret plot between House of Commons clerk and Dominic Grieve to suspend Article 50 by hijacking Parliament's agenda. They're gonna try it that way. All right. Now I'm gonna scroll down a bit and get these bullet points here. Okay. All right. And
well,
here we go.
That's unconstitutional, Jay. Just for that point, alone, it's unconstitutional what they're trying to do.
Well, okay. And here's the bullet points. One group, now this is a two-pronged attack, people, on Brexit. One group is led by a Tory former minister named Nick Bowles and the senior Labour MP, Yvette Cooper, is attempting to block a no-deal Brexit. A second group, led by former Attorney General Dominic Grieve, wants to go further and suspend the Article 50 withdrawal process. International Trade Secretary Liam Fox warned of a political tsunami if the government fails to deliver on the 2016 referendum vote. Okay, now I'm going to scroll down just a titch. Okay, here we go. Downing Street today slammed moves by rebel MPs to frustrate Theresa May's Brexit withdrawal plans. Two groups of MPs are said to be planning to table amendments that could hijack the Commons agenda to thwart the Prime Minister's proposals. Normally, the government has control of what is debated and voted on in the Commons, but the plotters want to suspend the normal rules, and this is how they'll get around it, Jeff, to put backbenchers in charge. One group, led by Tory former minister Nick Bowles and the senior Labour MP Yvette Cooper, is attempting to block a no-deal Brexit, something Mrs. May strongly opposes. A second group is being led by the former Attorney General Dominic Grieve, who wants to go even further and suspend the Article 50 withdrawal process, as reported by the Sunday Times. All right. The paper said it had obtained leaked emails showing that Mr. Grieve had been in secret communication with a Commons clerk. See, this is how they get this stuff done, guys. They get it done through procedures. With a Commons clerk of bills, Colin Lee. All right, remember that name, guys, to discuss how it could be possible to suspend Article 50. I'm going to scroll down a bit here, guys. Okay. clerks advise MPs on all sides how to write amendments that meet Commons rules. They also help Speaker John Bercow make rulings in the chamber. Now, that has to do, guys, as I scroll down with, you know, who gets to talk, how bills are passed, and things of that nature. These are civil servants, and what they do is extremely important. And it works in the same, some cases, in the U.S. Congress. It's just done by, like, different staff people. But these people are not elected. Now, let me continue. Downing Street described the moves as extremely concerning and said they undermined the need for MPs who supported Brexit to vote for it in the House. A number 10 spokesman said the British public voted to leave the European Union, and it is vital that elected politicians deliver upon that verdict. Any attempt to remove the government's power to meet the legal conditions of an orderly exit at this moment of historic significance is extremely concerning. This news should serve as a reminder to those MPs who want to deliver Brexit that they need to vote for it. Otherwise, there's a danger that Parliament could stop Brexit. The report comes as Mrs. May prepares to brief cabinet ministers on her talks with other party leaders and senior MPs following the crushing defeat of her Brexit deal last week in the Commons. And I think we just lost Jeff, but Jeff will... we'll be back. I'm just going to go ahead and make sure that the show keeps going. Okay, good. Now let's get back to the story here, guys. Okay, and that is right here. Okay, now, in one email sent on Wednesday, Mr. Lee was said to have made clear that the aim of the plan was to delay Brexit. What follows is just for you, and you will understand the terms, he said. See, this is some skullduggery up in here, people. We have been thinking that legislation is needed, but it occurs to me that substantive motion, say calling for Article 50 extension, could be made. I'm going to scroll down just a bit, guys, because there's a picture and things here. Okay, now, in a statement, a House of Commons spokesman said, it is common practice for clerks to provide advice to members on the drafting of many items of parliamentary business, such as bills, motions, and amendments. This advice is provided on a rigorously impartial basis. We do not comment on individual cases. Now, and as I scroll down, strictly speaking, it's true that's exactly what these staff people do, not only in the House of Commons and the House of Lords in the UK, but in Congress in the United States. But that can be used for all sorts of skullduggery, and this was being used for that. So they're just trying to cover their asses. Welcome back, Jeff. Now, to continue with the story,
thank you, Mike.
Mrs. May is due to make a statement to MPs on Monday, setting out how she intends to proceed with Brexit after the tumultuous events of last week. And those ain't over yet, folks. She will also table a neutral motion, which is expected to attract a flurry of amendments from MPs, which will be debated and voted on January the 29th. So hold on to your arses for that one, guys. With feelings running high, the pro-Brexit International Trade Secretary Liam Fox warned of a political tsunami if the government fails to deliver on the 2016 referendum vote. Right. He also hit out at ministers calling for Mrs. May to rule out a no-deal Brexit, saying the most stupid thing possible in a negotiation is to give away your strongest card. Writing in the Sunday Telegraph, Dr. Fox said failure to deliver Brexit would produce a yawning gap between Parliament and the people. Now, that's a very important statement, guys. I want to read that again, okay? Failure to deliver Brexit would produce a yawning gap between Parliament and the people, a schism in our political system with unknowable consequences. Now, that is a dire friggin' warning, everybody, and we're going to discuss that later. the reaction of the Question Time audience would become a political tsunami. It is time for MPs to deliver on the promises they made. It is a matter of honor, guys, and a matter of duty. Yeah, I know that the left doesn't like to hear the word duty. They think that means excrement. No, it doesn't. It means doing what you're supposed to do. Now, I continue with the story. In a letter to the Telegraph, 50 Tory Association chairmen and other senior grassroots figures said the party's 2017 manifesto stated no deal was better than a bad deal, and failing to honor that pledge would be a breach of trust with voters and party members. Meanwhile, Commons Speaker John Bercow said to be considering abandoning his plans to step down this summer after cabinet ministers threatened to deny him a peerage because of his alleged bias against the government over Brexit. Excuse me. You know, see, it's all about the honors with these people. It's just stupid. The Observer reported that friends of Mr. Burkow, who had been in contact with him, recently said he was now seriously reflecting on whether to stay on, possibly until 2022. Oh, goody. It follows reported briefings last week by government that someone who had cheated, centuries of procedure, should not expect to be elevated to the House of Lords. That's a burn if I ever heard one. All right, I'm going to scroll down again, guys. The SNP's Westminster leader has said that the Prime Minister, let's see, this is part of the story, I believe it is. Excuse me a second, guys. Let me just scroll down a bit more just to make sure. Okay. yeah, okay, it is. All right. A little bit of a different colored type, guys, so I wasn't sure. The SNP's Westminster leader has said that the Prime Minister needs to, you see, fundamentally change her position to end the Brexit deadlock. Pardon me, guys. Ian Blackburn has written to Theresa May to say that it would be completely unacceptable for her to propose only cosmetic changes to her EU withdrawal plan after it suffered a crushing defeat on Tuesday. Mr. Blackburn met with Mrs. May as she held talks with other leaders after surviving a confidence vote on Wednesday by 19 votes, guys, and said that he is willing to meet her again as long as the discussion focuses on three key points. he said any future talks must see the UK government focus on extending Article 50 to stop the clock on Brexit. sorry, guys. Bringing forward legislation for a second referendum, EU referendum, and taking a no deal off the table. This guy's a complete pile of crap. You shouldn't talk to him at all. Mr. Blackburn said, Mr. Blackburn said, with the clock ticking, it is concerning that there has been little indication so far that the Prime Minister understands the implications of the defeat she suffered last week and the steps that now need to be taken. That's in his opinion. It would be completely unacceptable for Theresa May to propose only cosmetic changes to the deal, which had been so decisively rejected by the Parliament. The Prime Minister has had 2.5 years to listen. She now has to show she is willing to engage with ideas and change her position. No, she does not. Not when it comes to the people's vote. that's why it is hugely concerning that media interviews given by cabinet ministers, such as the Secretary of State for Scotland, seem to be closing down options instead of opening them up. In other words, opening up options that where the UK stays in the EU. The Prime Minister is spending the weekend at her official country retreat. Oh, well, wouldn't it be nice to have a country retreat, Jeff? At Chequers, yeah. Working on a statement to MPs on Monday, setting out her approach following the overwhelming rejection of her Brexit deal. Mr. Blackburn said, pressing ahead with another proposal that is certain to be defeated would be reckless, waste more precious time, and will lead to further economic damage and uncertainty. Yeah, that's hilarious coming from a lefty. Now to continue, the Prime Minister needs to, fundamentally change her position. A Downing Street source said the Prime Minister was clear at the start of cross-party talks that there are principles underpinning these talks. These principles are that we make a smooth and orderly transition. We need to reach a consensus around a deal that respects the results of the referendum. and it needs to be a consensus that can command a majority in the House of Commons. Well, that last one is crap because it's never going to do that. And there you go, Jeff. That's the story. There you are. That's the left's huge attempt to try and hijack Brexit right there, man.
Yeah.
Diabolical? Absolutely. Your comment?
Of course it is. And as I said before, it's unconstitutional. It goes against the will of the people. And also, Parliament will cease to exist. If anything like that happens, Dave, people won't vote. People refuse, in fact, it'd be down to the people to close Parliament down and to re-establish a new way forward in politics, because it shows that our democratic rights, if otherwise, you know, our democratic rights, our vote means nothing. As far as I'm concerned, if our vote means nothing, they mean nothing, and they should cease to exist where politics is concerned. And we need honest truthfulness with politics instead of what we've been seeing for the last 100-odd years. That will be, and not only that, you are talking about revolution, Dave. This countries that have revolutions for far less constitutional thing what the politicians are proposing.
Right.
To go against the will of the people, they do so at their peril. That's a very dangerous precedent that they take there, Dave. And do they really understand, when we say peril, what that really means? That's
I don't
danger,
think they do, Jeff.
Danger.
No, no, I don't think they do understand. Yeah.
They are too thick.
Yeah.
But they
yeah.
will soon understand when they're hauled out in front of the people and frog marched say the court, like Nuremberg court trials, because you do that, this is against our democratic rights, and it's down in the end, it'll be the people versus the politicians. And you know, there's no debate.
It already is.
It's us. It'll always be us.
Yeah.
And we will bring them to justice, because that is justice needs to be served. If they do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be so many people, you know, you're talking about millions and millions of people. They think that they can handle millions and millions of people on a rampage. They're wrong. They're sadly wrong. And that's giving a shout out to all politicians who might listen to this radio show. Just be wary of what you are doing. Just remember, there's a hell of a lot more of us than you. And we are pissed off. So be prepared. You do go against our will, you will see things that you would never thought you're going to witness. It's not a threat. That's not a threat. It's a bloody promise. There you go, Doug.
Well,
I think
well,
I've clarified.
It just shows to go you. Yeah, it just shows to go you, really, how weaselly these people can be. If they try and use points of procedure to basically short circuit the will of the people. All right. We talk
you'd
a lot
have a revolution
the
if they've
about...
done that in your country, Dave. Well, I mean, my goodness me, you had this problem with the United Kingdom at the time with the King George, whatever his name was. That's why
you
bloody went to war. Similar
well,
thing.
Part of the...
unless revolutions are called through.
Part of the reason, yes, Jeff, is you know, the people get ignored, and you have and this is very similar right now in the UK. You guys have a parliament that has chosen to separate themselves from the people. I think Fox is quite right. You have a Leave population and you have a Remain parliament. Okay, and they have chosen to set themselves apart from the people, and I can tell you, you know, again, I don't want to be threatening or anything like that, but I'm just saying that historically, that never ends well for the people, for those who separate themselves from the people. It may take a few years, but you know, the results are never good.
Beatrice Army, Dave. It won't take years.
Just,
I mean, when revolution starts, Dave, you know how it goes. You know, pitchforks, this, that and the other. And the momentum builds and builds. And it's overwhelming. That's exactly where we are, where we could be in the not-too-distant future. And it won't take years, Dave. It won't take years because people already protesting on the streets. Look at Leeds. Thousands of people turned up. The police was overwhelmed. So you imagine the momentum. The momentum, and they trying to change. They try to change laws like the French are trying to do. Then you're open to open revolution, and on a scale that this country's not witnessed. We haven't witnessed in our time, anyway, Dave.
Well, I got to tell you,
I'm just one person.
Yeah. I almost feel sorry for the legislators in France that think they can legislate away the people's right to. To demonstrate there. That's not going to work. They need to look back about 240 or so years to see how that worked the last time something like that was tried. Or if they
the guillotine will be reintroduced, wouldn't it, Dave? The guillotine will be reintroduced to them.
If they don't want to look back that far, look back about, 28 or so years to what happened to the Ceausescus. You can't separate yourself from the people in this way and play silly games because whether you think so or not, the people are not stupid. We have this problem in the States as well. We have a political class that thinks that the people are stupid. All they have to do is, get out there and talk about identity politics and this kind of crap. And they're going to reel in the useful idiots, and there are useful idiots out there that they will reel in, but it doesn't take that long before the real people begin to look around and notice that they're the ones being forgotten, and the ones who claim to be working for the people are separate from them. I mean, look at Bernie Sanders, Jeff. I don't live in the best neighborhood there is. Here in Burlington, Vermont, I'll tell you that right now. Bernie Sanders, where does he live? In a million-dollar house, over on Lake Champlain, very nice. There's your man of the people right there.
Has he got a wall built around him as well, Dave? Has he got a wall around him?
I don't believe the house has a wall, Jeff. But it is. It is separate from the people. I mean, when the 2016 election was over, Sanders had a brand new car, and things of that nature. And that also was when he bought his house. Take Nancy Piglosi over here. She's worth the last time. I heard about her worth was in 2016, so it's probably more than this now. She's personally worth $9 million, and she's never held a job outside of government in her life. And I can guarantee you, representatives in the United States Congress don't make that much money. Not really. And yet she's got $9 million. And a story I saw, Jeff, it's unconfirmed, but a story that I saw was apparently, she had something like 13 or so of her family members she wanted to take on this European trip. If this was supposed to be an official U.S. congressional, fact-finding public relations tour thingy, what are her family members doing hanging on? This is the exact thing that the U.K. Parliament is doing.
Is that the word, Dave?
Slush funding. Give us our money. Give us our backhanders, okay? And we're going to rule over you and tell you how things are going to be. It's just like in my current show, Jeff. We're going to go away into a closed room and negotiate. And then we're going to come out of our hole and we're going to tell you how things are going to be. Well, it's got to be said to the would-be rulers that isn't going to, it never works, ever. Yeah. They claim to be smart. They claim to be smart, Jeff. They claim to be intelligent. And yet, if you look back at history, it never works, ever.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing.
No,
man.
I listen to Pelosi, and I listen to her with a bucket aside of me, because most of what she says, it's like a fairy tale. She says the thing about the war is, we'll just use lawnmowers to cut the lawns. What? Do you remember? Go back a while ago. We'll use lawnmowers.
Right,
yeah. Typical elitist type of thinking, isn't it, Dave? You know.
Oh, it is, yeah.
I will put her in a category of being a part of the elitist, because she does lead the charge on behalf of them. But yeah,
I can guarantee. Well, no, Jeff. You know, we've got about 10 minutes left in the show, and I just wanted to say, man. You know, I mean, I link her in with these you know a holes in the parliament, you know, who want to get rid of Article 50, who want to just say to the people, okay, 17.5 million of you voted for this, we don't care, we think it ought to be this way, not the way you want it, we want it this way, not your way. You know, and you'd better like it, because we're going to make laws to make sure you like. Well, you know, I got to say, that's not a formula for success. I agree with Fox, you know, on this particular issue. I mean, who knows what, you know, other kind of things he's into, because you can't trust any of these people. But in this instance, he's right.
The only time you'd agree is if they're thinking it's very... Yeah, exactly, and that's been spoken on a few occasions. Now, I will say that my last saying about this tonight is that they go against the will of the people, as I said during the show, at the peril. And the government will cease to exist. If they think that the people of this country are going to go along and be trod over, and like we have been for such a long time, and we've had a chance to vote to free ourselves and to make sure that a future looks more bright and breezy, better for the children. Because that's what it's all about, Dave. A lot of us, I mean, we're in our twilight years. But it's the future, what we leave to my great-grandchildren, me grandchildren, you know, et cetera, the future generations. There's things that you need to stand up and be counted for, and I think this, I don't have to say this because I already know, people are standing up, aren't being counted, and have been counted for a long time. A lot of people stood up for what's going on in this country. Over the years, 10 years now, the EDL has been around, and we've always stood up for what's right, and we've gone against what's wrong. That's what we've always done. But Dave, we are so down the last 7.5 minutes.
All right.
Let me pass the reins, mate, just to share with the listeners where they can find you and what else. And, of course, your final thoughts for this evening. But for you,
right,
I'll
well,
do
Jeff.
That. Thank you very much, Dave, for all the work you did for the show for tonight. Thank you, mate. Appreciate it. So, over to you,
you're
Dave.
You're welcome, man. Yeah, you're welcome, man. It was worth it. It was worth it. Now, again, program note, guys. We're going to be doing an encore version of the show on Thursday, because I've got an eye doctor's appointment and I never feel good enough to do anything once I come back from one of those on Thursday. That is, if I can get through the bloody snow. but please check out the Unpleasant Blind Guy. That's on Spreaker.com. That runs through SHR Media, and I'm on the Western Free Radio Network. My show times are 1 p.m. Eastern. That's 6 p.m. in the UK, and that's Monday through Friday. And I have new shows on Saturdays at midnight Eastern, and that's 5 a.m. in the UK right now. My current show is called Games, and it's about societal paranoia. When is it bad? And, hey, when is it good? You should check that out. And I'm also going to be on BZ's Berserk Bobcat Saloon on shrmedia.com. That'll also run on the SHR Media Facebook page and Spreaker as well. That's going to be on Tuesday at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, and that's going to be at 4 a.m. in the U.K. if you guys are some early risers, and we're going to be talking more then about Brexit. We'll see what happens then with Theresa May's proposal on Monday. We'll see what happens with all of that and with all this skullduggery. And we will be back with a live show on Sunday. And until then, guys, I just want to say the foot soldiers, angels, supporters of the cause of the English Defense League and Patriots around the globe, no deals, no BS, and no surrender. Be blessed, everybody. And Jeff, back to you.
Thanks, Dave. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, as I say, we'll be back again. Well, we have got an archive show we'll be putting out for this Thursday, but we'll have a live show next Sunday. So I hope you've enjoyed what we've been talking about tonight. The time's just flown on our side of things, so I hope you've enjoyed the show as much as we. Well, it's been a hard job actually getting the show together, but we're glad we did it anyway. So you take care, stay safe, God bless you all, and don't forget, just be vigilant out there. As Dave said, you know, no backing away, no what you call it, and of course no surrender ever. So with that, from myself, from Dave, and of course from Jan, Jan Rennick, of course, we'll see you next Sunday. So here we go. Yeah, we're going underground. Cheers, guys. Cheers, Dave.
Good night, Jeff. Good night, Jeff. Good night, everybody. You okay? Hey, good evening, everybody.
My life is in a rut. I'm quite happy with what I got. People might say that I should strive for more, but I'm so happy I can't see the point. Things happening here today. A show of strength with your boys brigade. I'm so happy and you're so kind. You want more money, of course, and of mine. My new deal of tax was for Tommy's wife. And the public gets what the public wants. But I want nothing. I have to stop. I'm going out on the ground. What is the prospect for you? You have to hate me, I've been up already on my fate. People might need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging between the facts. See, here's what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your leader, don't waste your trust. And the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up.
Go, and we've just about got a minute still left of a live show. So, Dave, I don't know if you want to do a quick tap dance.
I can juggle.
But no.
Hey, watch it. There you go. Yep.
There you go.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
But it's unusual that we've normally we run totally out of time, don't we? But I'd say we've still got 30. Well, we've still got time to do another. I'm going to do another tap dance around.
God bless everybody. Everybody in the States, stay warm, guys. And listen, if you dig the brass monkeys out of the snow, bring them in because it's cold outside.
Baby, it's cold outside. Da, 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 da. I tried to ban that, didn't I, Dave?
Those
implications. Yeah, how pathetic these lefties are. Never mind, Dave. I will catch
love you,
in
folks.
Dave,
be blessed.
Give me a call, Skype me sometime, okay, pal? Have a little chat here. Yep. Take care, guys. And we've left the studio now. Dave, cheers, pal. Thanks, mate. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the English Defence League radio show. Signing off for tonight. But, yes, we will be back again. We'll have an archive show next Thursday, which is really good. If you didn't listen to me, Jan and Dave, last Thursday, you've got to listen. It's a really, really good show. But we'll have our live show next Sunday. So... this is the English Defence League radio show. It's someone else for the night. Good night, God bless, and no surrender ever. God bless.